Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Welcome back to another episode of this series of podcasts from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And it's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Karen Jardine and I'm your host for this episode. This week, we're looking ahead to the General Assembly, which opens next Wednesday, the 22nd of June here in Belfast. And as you may know, the General Assembly is PCI's principal decision-making and governing body, bringing together ministers and elders from across Ireland, along with representatives from our partners overseas. It's always a busy time, and to give us insight into what we might expect, I'm delighted to be joined today by four guests who all have very different roles to play. So welcome to our moderator, the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce, our moderator designate, the Reverend John Kirkpatrick of Portrush Presbyterian Church, PCI's convener of the Council for Global Mission, Reverend Dr. Liz Hughes, and the clerk of the General Assembly, Reverend Trevor Gribben. You're all very welcome. So first of all, I'm going to ask you all to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what your role is and what happens next week. So Liz, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Karen. As you said, my name's Liz Hughes. I'm a retired minister and I've been convener of the Global Mission Council for the past 7 years. I finished that job after this assembly, and compared to the others on the panel, I will probably have the least to do during assembly week. Although, of course, we programme a significant number of meetings with our global partners before and after the assembly. I worked out that I've been coming to the General Assembly since 1979, when I was a deaconess and wasn't allowed in the ground floor. We had to sit upstairs. And its business and processes have always fascinated me. Like other council conveners, I'll be proposing our council report, possibly answering questions and responding to discussion. All of that is vital to the progress of the work, but the best part of any General Assembly for me is chatting informally and getting to know new people from different parts of the church, both from here in Ireland and from overseas, and renewing old friendships, of course, with people I haven't seen for a long time.
Thanks, Liz. What about you, David?
Yes, Karen. My role as moderator of the General Assembly, of course, is principally focused on the week of the Assembly itself. And in my particular case, that has been for the past assembly rather than this current one. This is the week when I will hand over the role and the reins of responsibility to my successor, who will be John Kirkpatrick, assuming the assembly does what it is being asked to do. And that will be a great joy for me. Previously, for the past 2 years, in fact, I've been involved with this, initially chairing the work of a commission of the assembly during the COVID period in 2020. And then a rather more normal meeting of the assembly, slightly constrained, in October of last year. So this year, my formal role in the assembly will be limited to the opening section of the opening night, when I'll reflect back on my time in office and then instruct the assembly in the will of God to appoint my successor.
Great, thank you. And John?
Well, this will be my first assembly to moderate. So as a minister of Portrush Presbyterian Church, I have been coming to be the representative along with my representative elder over the years. And, you know, it's going to be quite different. In the past, I may have had the odd time to maybe introduce something or maybe to answer a question or two, but I haven't generally been sort of one of those people who is up and down, you know, asking questions, making comments. I tend to observe and listen and to do a lot of networking. That's what I find at the Assembly. It's been a great place, you know, networking with people, getting alongside people in the past. One time I was chaplain to a previous moderator, which did give me a slightly different insight into it. So from the very first to the very last breath of the Assembly, I was there. Now that was a different experience. But I think things have changed a little bit since then, not a lot, but a little bit. So it's maybe sort of a little less formal, perhaps. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Moderator is to moderate and to stay in between and try to give balance and encourage people to all have the opportunity to state their point and ask questions and help the smooth running of the business. And so I'm looking forward to being able to contribute in that way so that I can make the experience for people who are taking part something that is really as good as possible, I hope, and maybe lighten it when necessary and so forth. You know, I'm looking forward to that part, but I'm also looking forward to being over, because, you know, when you've never done one of these things, you know, it's a little bit of a stress. So maybe I'll be honest about that too.
Thanks, John. And Trevor, do you want to introduce yourself and a little bit about your role in next week?
Yeah, thanks, Karen. I'm Trevor Gribben. I'm a minister of our church as well. Used to be minister in Lake Patrick and then in White Abbey in North Belfast. But I'm now working as part of the General Assembly. A lot of the work I do for the Assembly is in preparation, along with lots of colleagues in Assembly buildings, getting the reports together, getting the arrangements organized. There's a whole team of people beavering away, getting ready for Assembly Week. At the week itself, I suppose I'm there to advise and assist the moderator with the caliber of the outgoing moderator and the incoming moderator. I'll not have a lot to do because they're very able people. So I'll just be sitting there enjoying myself, watching the business go through, introducing the business. I'm trying to help members of Assembly find their way and help the Assembly by giving advice occasionally. Probably the less I speak, the better the Assembly will be, because I only pop up when I need to. So that's what I do. Like John, I'm maybe also looking forward to the closing prayer every year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because you said that on the podcast last year, that that's kind of your favourite part of the Assembly. So that is something that's for every year, not just for last year.
Yeah, that's slightly lighthearted. But I suppose when all of us prepare for something, all of us are working towards something, you hope it's really going to go well, and I hope it goes well this year. But you're also glad to get to the end of it. But at this stage, coming up to the Assembly, I'm excited, because the Assembly, as people have already said, is primarily about people. I often stress this point. Sometimes folk don't really catch the point I'm making, but the General Assembly is not a meeting. We meet in General Assembly. It's an assembly of people, first and foremost, coming together. People coming to wait upon the Lord. People coming to seek his will, people coming to worship him, people coming, ministers, elders, under 30 reps, youth reps, women's reps, visitors from overseas church, all acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his church, and wanting to find his will for what lies ahead. So for me, as John and Liz and David have already said, it's about meeting with people in General Assembly. I'm excited by that. People from all over this island, people from overseas and partner churches, people from partner churches here in Ireland, meeting in General Assembly.
And I suppose this is the first time that we've been able to meet like this since 2019, and there's some changes this year. Trevor, do you want to talk us through some of those?
Yeah, 2020, as David Bruce said, we had to work with an Assembly commission. The Assembly didn't meet in that sense because of COVID. And last year, we moved the Assembly to October to enable us to meet. But that year, we could just have voting members. So there are no visiting church delegates, or no under 30 reps or women's reps or youth reps. No people sitting and deliberating, as we said, taking part along with us. And we missed that. But I'm delighted this year we're back, as it were, to normal, with all kinds of voices from all over this island and further afield. You know, people sometimes ask me, what's the most important business this year? Well, my answer would be the same every year. The most important business is when we wait upon the Lord, when we join together to worship him, when we listen to his word, we meet together around his table. That's not something that interrupts the business. That is the business of the church. Now, we'll pass resolutions. We'll discuss, believe it or not, this year, if I look up my notes here, yeah, there's 26 items of business from 12 councils and commissions, numerous committees, panels and task groups, 72 resolutions to consider and to vote on. But the business of the church is to wait upon the Lord, to listen for his voice, to seek his will, to be together in a family, in a fellowship. That's the business. We'll look and we'll listen to many great reports. Great conveners like Liz will make super speeches which will inspire us. But it's the presence of the Lord that will make the difference. This year is in one sense a year where we're looking at work in progress. Last year, as I said, the assembly met in October. So there's only been 8 months, is that, between that assembly and this coming assembly. Lots of stuff we started to do again after COVID last October. We're going to hear interim reports from groups, and Liz's council will be talking about how, in a sense, we're getting up and going again. Council of Congregational Life and Witness, the same thing. We have a couple of really significant reports this year. Can I just highlight a couple from my own council, from the General Council? There's a group been looking at how we include people with learning disabilities in the membership of our church. That's a really important issue. It's an interim report, but well worth reading. These reports are going to be available online right about now, I think, so people can go and read them. There's another great report on the General Council about supporting families in difficult and challenging times, looking at practical ways of doing that as we move forward and seek to be more the church that God calls us to be. Apart from that, I don't want to signal anything out. Liz is looking at me on the screen. I better say Global Missions, one of the most important reports. And listening to the global church is a little session where we listen and learn from brothers and sisters in Christ from the global church. That's really important. But it's all in the Blue Book. Blue Book's online. All your listeners need to go and look at our copy and read it all. It's fascinating stuff, particularly if you can't sleep at night.
Trevor, someone who normally follows the Presbyterian calendar doing things might be surprised to find a podcast going out on Wednesday, the 15th of June, for a General Assembly starting on Wednesday, the 22nd of June, not having opening night on the first Monday of June as we would normally be expected. Do you want to just share a little bit about those changes and how they've come about?
They've come about because the General Assembly decided they're coming about. People sometimes think that myself and the moderator make all the decisions. We don't. We make most of them, but not all of them. And the General Assembly set up a group to look at how we might do our business better. It reported last year, and the Assembly changed now to meet from Wednesday night, our opening night, the main business, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, to make it more accessible to elders, particularly to those who sit and deliberate with us. Maybe Dar even suggest the younger elders who might be able to come on the Saturday, on the Friday particularly. So it's an attempt to be more accessible. I still talk about the Monday opening night. It takes a while to get that into your head, but it's a Wednesday opening night, Wednesday the 22nd. And could I say that that night will be live streamed. People can join in the worship from home, but people can also come and be in the assembly hall on that Wednesday night. Also, on the Thursday night for the assembly rally, when Peter Linus is speaking, when the New Irish Orchestra are leading our praise, do come and be part of the assembly. Watch in as we meet in communion. Indeed, if you're in Belfast, come and join us at the Lord's table if you love Jesus on the Friday at the assembly just before lunchtime. So look, it is different. Who says the church never changes? It's the Wednesday, the 22nd of June. Put that in your diary and plan to come along and join in the live stream.
That's great. Thanks, Trevor. And I suppose those changed timings are the only things that have changed. And one historic change that took place last year was that David Bruce was re-elected for a second term as moderator, which was quite historic. And as moderator, David, you've been the PCI's principal public representative and for PCI, and then obviously moderating the General Assembly. Having been the first person to serve two consecutive terms of office since 1894, you said in your opening address last year's General Assembly, "I sincerely hope the extension of moderatorial terms of service doesn't become habit forming." David, as moderator, what's the view from the chair like at the General Assembly, and what are the challenges, I suppose, in that role?
Yes, Karen, I hope the Assembly didn't think I was being discourteous in that remark. And what I was really meaning, of course, was that 2 years would be a very long time for a parish minister to be away from their parish duties. And I think rightfully, generally speaking, the moderator of the General Assembly comes from parish. It's a pastor's role, very much. So my appointment as somebody who's an official in church house or in assembly buildings as a council secretary is maybe a little bit unusual, and possibly therefore a little easier for me to take 2 years away from my day job to do this, and really because of the COVID emergency that we were addressing. But I think in general terms, it probably is wiser that it's 1 year. Of course, that's up to the Assembly to decide. Yeah, what does a moderator do, and how does it feel, and how does it look? And John will have plenty to learn as he prepares for the week. He will be supported by a really good team of people in the General Secretary's department, all of whom are deeply committed to helping the Assembly run efficiently and properly and well. It's interesting for a minister. I mean, I've been going to the Assembly since I was ordained in the early 1980s. And some things that you think you already know as a member of the General Assembly, you rapidly discover as moderator that you don't know, or at least you don't know adequately. The technicalities of rules for debate, timekeeping for the proposing and seconding of resolutions, amendments, the technicalities around that. And of course, responding to the unexpected things that crop up, as they inevitably do during assembly debates. Moderators therefore need to know a bit, and the clerk is always hovering close by on your shoulder to keep things moving and in the right direction, which is immensely reassuring. I think the sort of things that a moderator, maybe the skills that they need to develop, are sensing the mood of an assembly at a particular moment. And that's something that you really can't learn from a book or, you know, glean from a briefing. I'm thinking here of a moment in the New Testament, how the New Testament church described this, because it happened to them, particularly thinking of the council that met in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 to determine some really sensitive matters about the governance of the church and its progress in mission. And it was dealing with those really sensitive and important and even controversial matters which were going to affect its life and its future direction. And they described the process like this. They said, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." And I think the General Assembly of our church provides for such moments, as any member of the church, any member of the assembly can speak to a debate, but all members decide together on a matter. And it is just remarkable how, over the decades, God works through this mechanism of decision-making to reveal his will to us, so that we can then say, just as our forebears in the early church did, that it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. There's a sense of rightness that descends upon us when you know that even if it's a tough decision, it's being made with good grace, with integrity, and with an openness to the will of God being revealed to us. And that's a huge privilege to be part of. And a moderator obviously gets to be right at the center of that, which is just an enormous privilege. The last thing I would want to say, and I suppose speaking to John as I'm saying this, that as a direct outcome of a number of special assemblies, which we have held approximately every 10 years or so, really since 1990, these special assemblies were set up in a slightly different way. They weren't, as it were, adversarial or set up for debate. They weren't debating resolutions and making decisions. They were spaces where we could set aside the rubrics of debate and take time to listen to God together in conversation rather than by resolution. And that's been an important introduction into the culture of our life, I think. And so we've, leeching out of that, have introduced into each regular meeting of the assembly sections where we take time to simply listen to each other. And Trevor has already referenced this, especially and regularly to the global church, listening to the global church, but also through different models of presentation to take time to listen rather than simply to debate. Now, in normal debates, the moderator is concentrating desperately hard on the process, trying to ensure that it runs fairly and smoothly. But in those moments when we set aside those rules and handle the business in this different way by listening, the moderator can pause and can take time to listen to God with everyone else and to benefit from the moment. So I'm sure that John will both enjoy this and be as privileged as I have been to occupy the chair. And I obviously wish him God's blessing as he does it, and wish him well in it.
Thanks, David. And you've mentioned that listening to the global churches is Trevor as well. And I think that highlights just what an important part of our General Assembly time together is. Liz, you're really instrumental in that, in your role now as outgoing convener of PCI's Council for Global Mission. And you've mentioned some of your role during Assembly Week will be just like the other council conveners, presenting reports, seeking the approval and resolutions, but also your council is responsible for facilitating invitations to representatives of our partner churches and inviting them to attend and sharing their experiences from overseas. Can you explain to us a little bit about why that's an important part of our General Assembly and maybe just give us an idea of who you're expecting to join us this year?
Yes, definitely, Karen. Partnership with churches and networks of churches and other mission agencies, etc., around the world is part of our DNA in global mission. It comes right out of the New Testament, when as Paul and the other apostles went around planting new churches, there was constant communication between the various churches, people coming and going to encourage each other, often carrying gifts of one kind or another. And it's through our relationships with other churches from different countries and cultures that we are blessed and enriched, as well as challenged to think differently and often humbled and even rebuked. Paul talks to the church in Corinth about being partners working together with God. And in Philippians, he talks about giving thanks for our partnership in the gospel. And of course, the picture of the end of time as we know it is of a great gathering of people from every tribe and nation and language coming together in praise and thanksgiving before God. A strong understanding of partnership protects us from the kind of colonial attitude that thinks churches overseas should be more like us. We are blessed in PCI to think of global mission as mutual giving and receiving, listening and learning and being challenged. And just as we get invited to other church assemblies and events each year in other places of the world, we invite a number of our partners to send representatives to our assembly. Mind you, we often don't know until the very last moment who's going to get a visa in time. And for the last 2 years, because of COVID, we haven't had anyone with us from overseas in person. We operated with videos from our global partners last year. So depending on visas and all the other uncertain factors of travel, this year we hope to have Zoltán Literati from the Hungarian Reformed Church. And of course, his visit will speak into the Ukraine situation and its impact on both sides of the Hungarian border. Amon Chinika from Scripture Union in Malawi. Joseph Kassab, the General Secretary of the National Evangelical Church of Lebanon and Syria. Salma Andrew, she's principal of the United Bible Training Center in Pakistan. And Mehul Samuel Christian, the finance director from the Gujarat Diocese of the Church of North India. Last of all, Edwin Kibati from the Presbyterian Church of East Africa, working with Africans living in London. It's a brilliant lineup of places and people. Such a privilege for us to be able to host visitors who have so much to share with us. And there are at least three of those people who haven't confirmed if they've managed to get their visas yet. So please keep praying about that. If they all manage to come, our session on listening to the global church and our global mission report will be really powerful. In fact, their engagement with the whole assembly has the potential to bring a significant added global and spiritual dimension.
Liz, what's the theme then this year for that section on listening to the global church and who might take part in that?
Well, this is the seventh year, I happen to know, that the Assembly has included a session on listening to the global church. The clerk has been most supportive of it all the way through, and moderators, of course, as well. And this year, we are emphasising the importance of our listening. Our subtitle is Hearing the Heart. Hearing the heart that lies behind the stories that are shared. Stories from those ministering and living with conflict or fleeing from conflict. Stories of being the Christian minority in a country where Christians experience various forms of persecution. If we are truly listening, these stories from the heart of our sisters and brothers should call on us to respond from our hearts. At the very least, we will pray as we have never prayed before. We always try to include opportunities for reflection and prayerful response throughout the Listening to the Global Church programme, and this year will be no exception. And maybe just one proviso for everyone, please try and get there in person if you can. While most of the assembly will probably be streamed, depending on what partners are able to come and how much they may wish to share, we may have to stop streaming to enable them to speak from the depths of their heart to ours.
Thanks, Liz. That's really helpful. And thanks for that reminder as well about being able to actually attend in person this year and also connect in online when that's possible. And so that item of business is going to take place on Thursday afternoon. So that's Thursday, the 23rd of June at 2:45 p.m. if anybody wants to come and listen and hear from our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. So the one person who's going to play a central role in proceedings this year is John Kirkpatrick, who, if it's the will of the General Assembly, will be formally elected moderator on the opening night on Wednesday, the 22nd. John, you've done many interviews in February whenever you became the moderator designate. Both David and Liz have shared when their first General Assembly was. Can you remember your first General Assembly and just what struck you most about it at that time?
Thanks, Karen. Well, you know, going back to 1985, most certainly, and so it takes a bit of hard work to really reflect on that. And I was thinking about this question. I'm wondering, you know, what did I remember? I can't remember any specific, you know, someone spoke, and there were, I'm sure, usual people who had very capable at making their point and doing it very well. And, but the one thing I think I remembered was that if you did not really prepare yourself for this, you would be totally lost in it. You know, you would just be sort of catapulted in. And if you can think, you know, most of us who go for the first time are going there as assistants in to another minister, and our exposure to the ongoing narrative of what these issues are may be very limited because we're not part of the story of the various, what are now the councils and the panels and those various things. So it really can feel a bit alien to you, to be honest. And the only thing I would say is as the years have gone by, things have become a little bit simpler and I feel a little bit more connected to it. Although when I listen to Trevor and David and to Liz, I'm just aware of how, you know, how much more experienced they are than I am in all of their areas because they've been so close to it. It's been, you know, how it's been a big, big part of their life in many ways. So, you know, I can imagine this year I'm going to have a lot of learning as well. But I think when you're in the middle of something, you really see things very differently. So when you're observing, and that's what, in the past, there have been a lot of those who have come to the assembly and did feel a little bit like we're watching other people have a conversation, but they're not really part of the conversation. And over the years, I know there is this sense of let's try to draw in more and more people into it and let's have the conversation be had in such a way that people can be a part of it so that it's not just a few people giving points and making reports and saying things and everybody else just observing that. So that's something that I think I've seen in the process over the years. And that's a very good thing because it's very much a part of who we are now and who we always should be as a church.
Thanks, John. I think that's a good, you know, a good encouragement to come and to be involved and to find out actually what's happening across the breadth of the denomination, across all of the council areas from Global Mission, the Mission in Ireland, to Council for Training and Ministry, Public Affairs, General Council, and it's the breadth of its remit, the Council for Social Witness. I'm sure probably left somebody out. But yeah, I think to actually sit and listen over that, the period of time, the 3 or 4 days that we're together, is a real insight into the depth and the breadth of the work and witness of PCI across the island of Ireland. John, you're the grandson and the son of Presbyterian ministers, and you're about to become the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. What are you looking forward to about next week during the General Assembly and more broadly speaking then in your year in office?
Well, looking forward to next week, I think the one thing is that, you know, I really look forward to seeing people enjoy the week, enjoying the time they have, enjoying each other's company and being part of that and in some way being a catalyst in any way I can to kind of smooth all of that process for them, that it'll all work as well for them as I can make it possibly. And that would be what I'd be really pleased because in an environment where people are, they're happy together, they can then talk freely, and they can speak their mind, and they can know that people will trust, and they can trust people, and they can listen to each other. And that's the only way that we're ever going to get really the honest, good, and productive conversations, you know, I think, so that it's not just one viewpoint against another viewpoint. It's actually people really feeling, you know, this is a good place to come and talk and discuss, and I will be respected no matter what my point of view is, if I hold it sincerely and can put it across in the appropriate way. So, you know, that would be something I'd really try to be a catalyst for. I know that every moderator has brought, they bring their personality, they bring their experience, they bring their gifts, and they bring their own style to what they do. And I appreciate that very much from those who have all been there before me. And I hope that I'll be able to just try and do that as best as I can, Karen.
And so what about your year ahead then? Do you want to share a little bit about your theme and what you're kind of, what you're looking forward to, your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I began thinking about a theme, you know, quite soon after the February election. And it was sort of uppermost in my mind because it would be one of those things that, you know, I was conscious of very much, that moderators had themes. Sometimes the themes were chosen. And I began by thinking of David's themes, you know, we had home and hope and one word themes. And I was thinking about, you know, how do we move forward from where we've been in pandemic mode to helping encourage churches out of that? And the word trust had come into my mind. So I fired that around for quite a while and it seemed to rest there. But then I started to read other things and I really felt the Lord saying to me, no, that's not really where I want you to go. And this other theme has kind of grown up, and it's the two words, grace works, capital G, capital W. And what it's, I think grace is at the foundation of everything, really, in my understanding. And without grace, there is no church. Without grace, there is no relationship. Without grace, there is no knowing God at all. So it's so fundamental and foundational. So I would really be wanting to encourage that sort of understanding of grace again. And as I've been doing this, I'm beginning to understand it better myself as I drill into this, you know, so that's really helpful and really encouraged me personally. So that would be something, and there are a whole lot of different ways that I can go with that. You know, we can go in lots of ways, you know, with grace and works. I mean, some people think that they're mutually exclusive, but of course we know that grace produces works, and we know that grace alone works, and there's dozens of ways in which we can think about it. But at the same time, it also becomes not only the message, but it becomes the means, the medium as well, because it's grace that we want to be. We want to be graceful people, people filled with grace as we go into the society and among our churches and between each other and so on. So I really would love to, you know, get alongside people wherever they are. And I know it has been so difficult in the last few years to have that contact because of the circumstances. So, you know, if I can get alongside ministers and elders and members and folks of all ages and types and wherever across the island of Ireland again, I mean, that's something I look forward to doing and contributing in some measure to the encouragement and the help wherever they are and the things that matter to them. And of course, just to listen to people, because I think that's really important. There are lots of people who need to be listened to and taken perhaps their situation, their story, their need a little bit seriously. And I know that the limits I have are very, I have great limits on me. What can I do? But I know that we can help encourage and point people to the Lord, who really is the one who can do everything that is required and need, and people need.
Karen. Thanks, John. And we look forward to following your progress during the year and also praying for you as you endeavour display that during the year. John, do you want to say a wee bit just about the evening celebration on the Thursday night during Assembly Week, about what your hopes are for that as well?
Well, Trevor has mentioned there that we're going to have Peter Linus, who is Director of the Evangelical Alliance. He's going to be the main guest speaker. We have the new Irish choir and orchestra, who are exceptionally gifted in not only leading worship, but inspiring us by the worship that they also participate in, as they may perform some pieces as well. So, you know, you have those two very key elements to it. But behind that is really, what are we trying to do? What do we want? I mean, in my mind, and I've said to Peter, I said, you know, Peter, people really need hope today. Peter feel that the world is very much against them, the culture is very much against them, and people are often talking down things instead of really seeing where the hope is. I think we need to help the church at large and our congregations and others, our friends and other churches, you know, just to realize, you know, yes, there is always hope. There's always hope. There always will be hope, even in the worst of places and even in the most difficult of times. So I think it's something I aim to do every Sunday, is to send people away from church with hope. If I don't do that, I think I fail to do what I'm called to do. So that would be what I would love to see, is people going home with their hearts lifted and having been able to participate in something that was really inspirational, and that it was, you know, it was a great night, and it really is something there that, you know, my heart was touched, my mind was moved, and my soul has been stirred. And I think that'll be great if that's possible. And we hope it is, and we think it could be.
Thanks, John. And David, you've already touched on this a little bit, but if you had some advice to give to John, what would that be as he takes the chair next week?
Okay, one or two very brief things. Karen, firstly, John, look, we and you and everybody will be praying for you as you prepare for this. So you and Joan, do the prayer work first. Make sure that you're getting close to God and that you're close with and intimate with him as the week of the assembly approaches. It'll disappear in a flash and you will have no time for anything, just to do what you have to do. So get yourself in a position and a posture of dependence upon God first. Stay calm, because people are really cheering you on, and nobody honestly is trying to catch you out. PCI loves their moderators, and it's just a huge honor and an immense sense of gratitude to people. They really do support you, and they're not trying to trip you up. I've mentioned already about sensing the mood of the meeting. Don't be afraid, if that's the case, to pause for prayer or to take time out to reflect, you know, just to put the brakes on, especially if there's been a spirited debate. You're in the chair and you can instigate that and initiate that, and it does everyone good, I think, to get off the tracks for a moment and just pause and listen to the Lord. So don't be afraid to do that. Listen to the clerk.
Good advice, David. Good advice.
He generally knows what he's talking about, with the notable exception of Premier League football. Don't get him on that subject, but on everything else,
it's
yes.
It's a cricket season. We've moved on from football.
That's all right.
So I'm sure you'll understand why I say that, since I understand that the moderator designate is not an Arsenal supporter. Former moderators are not your worst critics. They are, in fact, your greatest supporters. I have found that they've been, as colleagues, an immense support to me. They're praying for Zoe and me and have been through the year, and that's been tremendous. And they've been open and ready to have conversations at any particular point. And I've dipped in and out of those conversations regularly. So don't be afraid to do that. And lastly, I would say, John, enjoy it. It's one of the great privileges of ministry, and it's been given to you. And I know you'll look back upon it with gratitude to God, and you will be a real servant of the church as you take up this responsibility. So may the Lord bless you in it.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Those of you who listen to these podcasts regularly know that we finish off by asking our guests for a scripture that has perhaps spoken to them in recent times, or in this context, perhaps something that our guests feel is particularly pertinent in this year's forthcoming General Assembly. So Trevor, can I start with you, if you have some scripture to share with us?
Yeah, Karen, as I said earlier, in a sense, this is our first normal General Assembly post-pandemic, although bits of the pandemic are still with us, and there are people still vulnerable or people still ill with it, and we shouldn't forget that. But it's been a tough old couple of years, and I want to just publicly say today, I'll say it on other occasions too, to give utter credit to David, who took on the challenge of a second term in the midst of the pandemic and has been God's man at this time, the person of God's choosing, and has given himself to us in a very different way than most moderators because of the pandemic. But I suppose the verse I want to share, it builds around that. On Friday afternoon of the Assembly, the Council of Congregation Life and Witness will be leading the other alternative presentation. Global Mission will be listening to the Global Church on Thursday afternoon. But on Friday afternoon, their theme is going to be Turning of the Tide, talking about preparing for what the Lord has for us as we move ahead. And the passage I want to think about is in Exodus chapter 33. When God's people were in a journey, They were in the middle of the wilderness, actually, at the time this happened. They were moving towards the promised land. And Moses comes to God and he says, Lord, you've asked me to go ahead and to lead these people. Who's going to go with me? And in verse 14 of Exodus 33, we read these words. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. That's an amazing promise. Coming through the challenges we've come through on the mountaintops and the good days, and the preparation for the assembly and the assembly, but also as we move on together as a people. But the thing I really want to point out is what Moses said in response. In verse 15, we read these words. Moses says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. You see, Moses realized that the presence of the Lord was so vital. It made the difference. He said, let us stay in the middle of the desert, Lord, if you don't go with us. And the presence of the Lord is what we need. Moses went on and he also said this, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other peoples in the face of the earth? When we meet in General Assembly, we're not just a business meeting. We're not just another society of people wanting to do good in the world, because there's loads of people wanting to do good, and we thank God for that. The church is different. It's the presence of the Lord that makes a difference. It makes a difference in my life as a believer, in each of our lives, in each of our congregations, and for us in General Assembly. My presence will go with you. That's what makes a difference.
Thanks, Trevor. John?
Well, I've just been reflecting on, you know, this period of time for myself and for the church, and the words that seem to resonate with me are very simply those words in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. You know, I know the assembly is a time when people talk and there can be lots of noise, and you hear it outside in the concourse, you hear it, you know, in the official and the meetings and the various reports and so on and debates. But there is a sense also in which, and we have mentioned that today, we've used the word listen quite a bit, and I think that is important. People sometimes use this and say, oh, you know, listen. But I mean, how do you listen? You have to be silent in a sense, but you're silent in your heart. And I think there's a sense in which, as a church, we do come to listen, be still, and know that I'm God. Acknowledge, it's acknowledging who he is, that it is his church. And although we may have our ideas, at the end of the day, it's what he wants for the church, not what we want, that really matters. So I think that's what's been sort of in my mind. So it's that sense of acknowledging and anticipating and having an expectation that God will speak and he will act and he will do something when his people do really bring themselves to that place. So it gives me a lot of hope and a lot of anticipation for something really encouraging. So that's what I've been thinking about. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, John. Liz, what about you?
Well, I've been meditating for the last number of weeks on the vision of John in Revelation chapter 7, where he says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Maybe one day all our churches, even in Ireland, will look like that. Some I know in the south already do. But meantime, that's the vision we're all working towards. And it also reminds us that we don't have to be all the same. It's okay to be very different, to be genuinely diverse, and yet still share together in worship and love for Jesus. At the end of the day, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. And David, I think this might be your last official podcast as moderator, so I'll leave this last word to you.
Well, thanks, Karen. In my first year as moderator, we couldn't meet as a full assembly, and that's already been mentioned, and we had this smaller commission meeting online to do its work. And at the opening of those meetings of the commission, I spoke from 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and it was really as much a prayer for myself as it was for the whole church. And that verse refers to men from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And it still seems to me to be appropriate as we prepare for assembly to remind ourselves of that, that kind of double insight and how important that is and how appropriate it is for a general assembly to seek that from God. The ability to understand that means, I think, to accurately interpret the complicated times that we're living in, coupled with the spiritual insight to know what it is that God is actually calling us to do, how to allocate our time, set our priorities, spend our money, send our people, start new work, stop old work, and act for his reputation in the world. So the men of Issachar had this double gifting, and that would be my prayer, that as we meet in assembly, that would be evident among us as we seek to understand the times and know what it is that God is calling us to do.
Thank you, David, and thank you also Trevor, John and Liz for just participating in the podcast this afternoon. Just before we go, I want to give a little reminder of what's happening next week. So the General Assembly begins at 7 p.m. next Wednesday on the 22nd of June. The doors open at 6 if you'd like to come and attend in person in the public gallery. Then our business on Thursday begins at 10 o'clock. The evening celebration that John has told us more about starts at 7:45 on the Thursday evening, and everyone is welcome to attend. On Friday morning, we start at 10 again, and the communion service that Trevor has mentioned will be at 11:45. And again, anyone's welcome to attend that. Business concludes at 9 that day, so it's a long day. And then we start again on Saturday at 11, with that being the first public session on that day, and the assembly scheduled to close on the Saturday afternoon. And as always, you can follow the General Assembly on Twitter with our Twitter handle at PCI Assembly. You can use the hashtag PCIGA22, and you can watch proceedings online on our website, www.presbyterianireland.org. And on the website also, you'll find all the reports, the news stories, the timetable and other information about this year's General Assembly. So thank you for taking the time to tune in. Can I encourage you to share this episode via social media with others from your congregation or those who you think would find it informative? And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. That's all for this episode, and we hope you'll join us next time for another conversation that reflects on our life and witness in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.